Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, family. Oh, my goodness, have I had an eventful evening. We had some technical difficulties in beginning the show, but I've made some arrangements to try to schedule something really quick and try some alternative things in order to make it work, and I guess it worked. So bear with me a few more moments as I try to organize myself, and we're going to continue with the show after this brief message.
Unfold, discover, reclaim, destroy, lift up, cleanse, and heal, making our vagina a sacred place from which love and peace emanating. Healing and shifting our universe as we send beauty into the world. We will heal all that comes into our cosmic, energetic, and physical space with our mind, body, and spirit. This journey is going to take us to places that we forgot, that we didn't want to revisit. but that we carry with us everywhere we go. Ladies, this is serious work. This is loving work. This is healing work. You are queens, goddesses, and mothers and creators of this earth. Let's walk fearlessly as we heal thyself, overcoming the angry vagina.
All right, ladies, thank you so much for bearing with me again. This is Monique Nubia Sunshine as we come back to the book read and we go over just overcoming the angry vagina, learning more about how to identify, how to be able to heal, and how to be able to just overcome the anger, understanding the anger and overcoming it. So when we left off last week, I mentioned that we were going to go through the introduction and read a little bit into the book. So if some of you ladies have your books with you, it would be great if we all could follow along. I will hopefully be calling on some of the ladies to come in and read bits and pieces of the book. But I'm going to start with the introduction, The Angry Vagina, S.O.S. And this is written by Queen Afua. So I'm going to read it as though it's coming from her. I was inspired and led to write Overcoming the Angry Vagina, Journey to Womb Wellness, because there is a global urgency to restore womb wellness. For over three decades, 95% of the women that I have counseled, guided, and taught in holistic workshops and seminars were challenged by imbalances and disharmony within their womb. I began searching for the root cause of their condition. I wondered why, more often than not, no matter the religious practice or economic status, the race or creed, globally, my clients complained of the same womb pains and diseases. Their complaints came as screams from angry vaginas. Suddenly, from deep within, I heard a warning from my own womb. Wake up or I'm leaving. I can't live in this house with you unless you get some of this stuff up off me. The mace that did not work got me angry and depressed. And your client load of everybody's pain is overloading me. Lighten up your load or I'm out of here. Shocked, I looked around for who was speaking. But there was nobody else. I looked down at myself and I realized that the voice was coming from my womb. I paid close attention and took the steps I knew. Detoxify, use holistic herbs and tonics, fast and pray, and do my womb yoga exercises. Heal myself, and soon my womb began to speak more at ease. Then I looked outside myself, and I studied women's womb conditions in terms of their relationship to the world's conditions. Conclusively, I found that there was a direct correlation between the condition of wombs and the state of the world. Through consistent observances of women, families, and society, it became clear that what and where we are is dialectically linked to what is happening within our womb. The wellness of all wombs are under attack. There have been thousands of attempts to fix the problem. However, since these attempted remedies are not personal, definitive changes in how we take care of ourselves, the damage continues to calcify. Disease continues to be accepted as normal. Our bodies, minds, and spirits are not well. Consequently, we give birth to toxic people, thoughts, actions, and relationships. Giving birth to babies from diseased wombs and thoughts that keep the human family in chaos and discord. We have been given birth to those create war, steal land, enslave people, suppress women's power, and manipulate nature. I ask myself, what kind of womb environment breeds and brings forth such a low and violent frequency of humanity? Most people are born from women suffering from toxic, suppressed, and enraged thoughts. Far too many women have fibroid-filled wombs, cancerous wombs, cystic wombs, mutilated wombs, raped wombs, endometrial wombs, prolapsed wombs, aborted wombs, filled with sorrow, hurt wounds, sad wounds, depressed wounds, racist wounds, and have lost their wounds. The overwhelming screams from angry vaginas are fibroid tumors, usually cancerous. Fibroid tumors are age old and worldwide. Other screams include painful menstrual cycles, infertility, abortion, legally depending on place and time and government, difficult birthing episodes, miscarriages, troublesome menopause experiences, cancerous tumors, eating disorders that range from obesity to anorexia announce the presence of an angry vagina, depression, diabetes, high blood pressure, migraine headaches, STDs, vaginitis that warn us that our wombs are not well. Angry vaginas are screaming, no more secrets, no more damage, no more crime, no more wars. Overcoming an Angry Vagina, Journal to Womb Wellness, is an invitation to pay holistic attention to your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, and even economic wellness. It is a guide to using your nutrition habits, detoxification routines, physical exercises, prayers, meditations, and spiritual activities to heal thyself. It is time to eliminate preventable diseases and suffering. The angry vagina is a planetary problem. Overcoming the angry vagina must be a planetary priority. I encourage the readers to use this text of this volume, as well as strategies to provide in my previous work to know yourself better, to empower yourself. Become a womb worker who heals yourself and joins others to seek change, to change the disharmony and overcome the anger. Imbalance has had its hand on the power button. It is the reason why our bodies, thoughts, emotions, and relationships are not well as they should be and could be. The purpose of this text is to ignite a reversal of power and restoration of balance. Overcoming an angry vagina is a bold step in rerouting the planet from toxicity back to natural wholesomeness. The strategies of these texts in this text are included to initiate, to end the disharmony and imbalance. Imbalanced thoughts that have led to imbalanced emotions, imbalanced deeds, wars have been waged. There's rampant and epidemic occurrence of diseases all over the planet. Overcoming angry vagina is intended to end the blatant dishonoring of women by men and women, restore balance, respect, and honor among men and women. It is meant to inspire mutual harmonious leadership. A new world must begin for the restoration of holistically well wombs. Women must rise up and begin to heal themselves. Our womb wellness must become our priority. As we heal ourselves, we become empowered, cultivating womb workers to overcome angry vaginas and work towards global wellness is restoring the humanity to wellness, harmony, and beauty. balance as it was in the beginning, Queen of Fua. And that is a powerful introduction because it kind of sums up many of the just the different things that goes on with our wounds and what she basically identifies as an angry vagina. And she talks about just everything with fibroids being the number one scream from the vagina. And it's amazing. As I open up the lines, I'm going to ask you ladies, how many of you have experienced or have had dealt with fibroids? And can you elaborate on what that feels like? Or what that is like. And I've opened up all the lines so any of you ladies can respond to that. So any of you ladies that have had or have known someone that has had fibroids.
Monique, this is Livin. How you doing?
How you doing, Livin? Welcome.
I had them, but it was strange for me because when I first went to the doctor, they told me that I had them, and then that was around the same time that I started using oils. But prior to that, I had heavy cycles that lasted really long and were painful, mm-hmm. and those were the main symptoms that I had: a really heavy cycle mm-hmm. and painful cycle. But when I started to use the oils and herbs, when I went back to the doctor, the next time I went back, I was pregnant.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up just a little bit. You're breaking up just a bit.
Oh, okay. Is it? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got the part where you said when you went back to the doctor.
Yeah, when I went back to the doctor.
Uh-oh, we're breaking up again. Sorry.
Okay, I'll just mute my line because I don't know what's going on with my phone.
Okay. Every once in a while it comes in clear and then it comes in okay. But after you went back, you said it was no longer there?
Yeah, they were gone.
Mm. And do you remember what herbs you used?
When I first started using herbs, I was doing just like echinacea, garlic,
mm-hmm.
and golden seal. And
mm-hmm.
Because I know you have to do it like in increments. You can't just keep using it for a long period of time. But the herb that I used was.
Hello?
The herb that I used was Dong Quy. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Oh, yes. That's a really great herb. Great herb for the vagina, yes.
And then when I was using the essential oils, I was using frankincense, melaleuca, and lavender.
Mm. Wow. Well, that's a good recipe if you don't mind sharing that with the ladies. And I know Queen has some stuff, some things in the Sacred Woman book also, and possibly in this book as well. I haven't gone through the entire book, but I know she has products that she sells that will definitely be very helpful. But it's amazing that you were able to do it on your own. And that's the thing we want to kind of empower some of our sisters to do, because typically when you hear about us having fibroids, you know, there's so many things that is done on a medical level that can make the situation worse, especially when women have to have surgery, when we can do certain things in our diet to actually shrink them and remove them.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to try to encourage that, and we want to keep that open for the ladies to explore, so that way they don't have just one option. Any of the other ladies on the line, have an experience or a story that you'd like to share about fibroids?
Peace and blessings. This is Lavette.
Peace and blessings. Welcome.
Thank you. I did back in my youth, I would say I was around maybe 19, 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I had previously gotten the Depo-Vera, like the Depo shot. Mm-hmm. And I would only have to get it like one time. And it's supposed to last like for 3 months, but that thing lasted like for 3 years for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like I didn't have to get I didn't have to get a shot again, and I didn't have any cycles during that time. So whenever I finally had, you know, I let my body, I guess, come back to its natural state without the depot shot. I guess that worn off, and I went back to the doctor. And by this time, I was married, and I had asked, you know, what was my possibilities of getting pregnant, because me and my husband weren't using any kind of, you know, control or anything. And they told me I had polycystic ovaries.
Oh, my goodness.
Polycystic ovaries. And, I mean, I'm 20, 21, 22 up in that time period. So I didn't have an extensive, I had probably only maybe 3 to 4 sex partners at that time in my life. Still to this day. So it's like I didn't have like a history of many sexual partners. It's just that some of the drugs that I had put in my system to, I guess, somewhat slow down or prevent me from getting pregnant actually caused me to have polycystic ovaries. But after that, I kind of adapted. Whenever I got in the relationship with my husband, my boyfriend at the time, I adapted a natural, holistic style of eating, and my diet changed. So I'm sure that that helped to expel the drug from my system. And I since then haven't had any issues, but I believe that it also delayed me from getting pregnant, because we were, I don't want to say careless, but we were, I guess, receiving if it happened. But it took for me, we were about maybe 6 years into our marriage before we actually successfully got pregnant and had a child.
Did you, so you found it was difficult to have a child once you got off the shot?
I had, I did have a miscarriage. I had 2 miscarriages before my baby made it full term. So it was difficult. And then, you know, in the back of your head, when once the doctor says, oh, you have this, then it's like subconsciously, it's like a seed planted there too. And inside of my own ignorance, I watered that seed. You know, and whenever we got intimate, or whenever, you know, I was a few days away from my cycle, I was like, oh, I got polycystic ovaries. You know, I don't think I'm going to get pregnant. So, you know, we also sometimes.
It was always in your head. It was always in your head about it.
We can even put ourselves into a terrible mental state by taking on things that don't necessarily work out in our best interest. So I know for sure, like, a lot of the times I was like, oh, I have this, you know, I'm not going to get pregnant. And even sometimes whenever we were going through something and I was like, you know, I'm not really trying to get pregnant right now. I got polycystic ovaries, so, you know, it's not going to happen. So a lot of the times I even brought it on myself. So.
Well, I've never been on those shots or any of those any method of birth control actually after 18. After my mother initially had me on the pill, I didn't take, I think maybe like a year after, I decided that I didn't want to take it anymore, just having bad migraine headaches and that kind of stuff. So I didn't take anything. I decided I didn't want to have birth control, period. I had already had my son at the time, and I was in a relationship, and we just practiced safe sex as best we could, you know, and 7 years later I had a child, but and it was planned, but my sister was on the depo shot as well, and she got pregnant on the depo shot. She said after the first year that she was on it, she didn't get her period the whole year, and then by the end of that year she got pregnant, and so she didn't have full term pregnancies. She would give birth maybe like 2 months before her due date, and the babies were okay, but she just would never carry to full term. So a lot of women who have experiences with that depo shot, that is just unusual. And I'm going to read some of the side effects that is associated with Depo-Vero. It says irregular menstrual periods or no periods at all, headaches, nervousness, depression, dizziness, acne, changes in appetite, weight gain, excessive growth of facial or body hair. I've never heard of a situation, but hair loss and loss of bone mineral density. So, and it's saying that most of these side effects are not common, but they are side effects nonetheless. Some of the side effects that I've heard from it have not been listed, or have very few have been listed, like headaches and irregular menstrual periods or no periods at all. But a lot of the women that I've known that's been on the shot has also talked about them having miscarriages, them having difficulty getting pregnant, or some of them getting pregnant while being on the shot. So it's really just an amazing thing that they're giving to these women, and not really having enough information about it in order to help them. And it causes other issues, and especially fibroids or cystic ovaries. So I think it's crazy. I myself have never had fibroids. My cousin has had one as big as a grapefruit inside her stomach, and she had held on to it for about, I want to say she carried it for maybe about 6 years. And it kept getting bigger and bigger. By the time that they removed it, it was probably as big as a cantaloupe, a small cantaloupe. And she looked like she was pregnant. And the surgery itself was so horrific because she waited so long, and she was closer to her. When she was diagnosed with it, I believe she was in her early 30s, and she just turned 40, so she waited about 2.5 years ago to actually do the surgery. So she walked around with it for a long time. And so, and it was just disrupting her entire health, even to the point of the relationships that she was attracting in her life. So when Queen talks about fibroids kind of being the mother of all things, to tell you that your womb, your vagina is screaming, we have to pay attention to that. We have to pay attention to when our body is screaming, you know. So I do want to ask a trivia question, because I thought I can make this a little fun and get our minds stirring on ourselves. So and how much do we know about our own bodies? How much do we know about our parts, our lady parts? So I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to open up the lines, and I'm going to see, you know, what it is that we know, because there's some things that I surprisingly didn't know, and I started to learn about it as I kept going, as I was creating these quizzes. So the first question, and let me see if I can bring it up really quick, because I had a list of them. Okay. Let's see. All right, so I'm opening up all the lines, and the first question is, the vagina has several parts, and does it include the labia and the clitoris? True or false?
Hold on, can you repeat?
The vagina has several parts, including the labia and the clitoris. True or false?
True.
How many of you ladies say true? My answer was true.
True. I say true.
I think it's true, too.
Okay. Well, you'll be surprised. It's false. Guess what the vagina is. The vagina is a narrow muscular canal that connects the uterus to the cervix, to the outside of the body. The labia and the clitoris are part of the vulva, which is outside of the vagina.
The labia consists of the fleshy lip parts that are around the opening of the vagina, and the clitoris is the sensitive area that's located near the top of the inner labia. Yeah, I said true also, because we all equate that to that one particular area. So that was like a question. I was like, okay, I don't know nothing about the vagina then, because I thought that was. All right.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
So we're going to go into the book a little bit more. We're going to talk about two letters, and that's the first chapter. Do any of you ladies have the book with you?
I have mine.
No? Okay. If you have your book with you, I want you to go to two letters and just read the first page of that, if you don't mind. Is that poetry?
Yes, it's me. I have mine. I haven't read for a couple of years.
Okay, so if you don't mind reading the first page of two letters.
All right,
it's the
hold
first
on. Page
that comes right after the introduction. Then you can just read that one page.
All right, hold on one second. I'm getting it. After the introduction?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, the first page after the introduction, it says two letters at the top.
I'm sorry, I didn't have it out. I got it now. Hold on.
Okay. I can hear you rustling it together, girl.
I have an introduction. That's coming. Okay. Two letters. Letter one. Dear Imbalance. Yes, dear, for we will not curse you as you have cursed us. We simply will get rid of you. For centuries, you have been manipulating, enslaving, and messing with me and my womb, my seat of creation, my symbol of womanness. You've been suppressing, abusing, and mutilating my womb in every way. I even have supported you in my own demise. My womb has been a cash cow for society, making big profits off my ignorance for everything from prostitution to hysterectomies. In antiquity, thousands of years before imbalance took over, women were respected, honored, and lifted up. There was harmony. Do you want me to go further?
Yeah, just finish the page, and then I'll go into the next page.
Things change. Some religions promoted that women caused humanity to become cursed. This supported a course of action taken by men to control and suppress women on all levels. Laws were created to protect society from women's thoughts and deeds. Women most blindly follow the leadership of men. The doctrine suggested that women have to suffer with pain during their menstruation. Not true. Imbalance. Women who live a natural, toxin-free life can have a pain-free monthly cycle with minimal bleeding of 1 to 3 days. Some beliefs claim that women were cursed to suffer greatly during childbirth. Again, not true. Women who embrace natural living and eliminate flesh and fast food from their diet can experience childbirth and labor reduced from the common 12 to 36-hour battle to a 2 to 6-hour process of variable womb contraction. When complemented with proper breathing, a woman can experience and embrace natural birthing without synthetic medications or drugs of any kind.
Wow, can you imagine that? No drugs at all when giving birth? That would be amazing. As a rite of passage within some cultures, young girls are raised and trained to submit willingly to clitoral castration. During the procedure, usually without anesthesia, they must suffer silently as their flesh is cut away. The pain, a customary part of these rites, is encouraged to keep young girls in check. Listen, you, Imbalance. Take your hand off the power button. Your reign of illness is being diffused. You have been running things for over 2,000 years. You have been running us into war, violence, disharmony, and tragedy. In antiquity, we lived in balance with each other and with nature. We enjoyed wellness. It was a golden age. We are back. The healers in us are awakening and rebirthing themselves.
We are getting back on our feet. We are using healing tools. Yes, we women, we angry vaginas, we womb workers in our own lives will bring balance to the equation of our lives. We who embrace womb wisdom will return to this planet to balance through the womb wellness recovery. We are taking these steps in overcoming angry vaginas. Women of the world are speaking out and organizing against the practice of female castration as it continues this very moment. Women of the world are transforming their lives of shame, rape, and incest. We are overcoming the global angry vaginas. Righteous women and men are proclaiming it is a new day, it is a new time, it is a new beginning. Beware imbalance. Balance is on the rise. And that is a fact. That is a fact. That is a fact. I feel the energy of everything that is happening with so many women creating sister circles, so many women gathering together and fighting and taking back what is theirs, taking back their purity, taking back their life. And even with what's happening now with doing fasting and detoxing, so many women are looking to cleanse their bodies. Ladies, when you were going through your fasting and do your difference in diet, did you notice any changes with your vagina or with your menstrual? And if you have, please
yes.
share.
Wow. I did the 31 days, like from January 1st mm-hmm. to February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, like, I mean, and this is just being open and honest.
Mm-hmm.
After so many days on your cycle, you tend to smell yourself, even if it's very light in odor. Whenever I had my cycle during my fast, there was none, and it only lasted like 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like it started and it ended as soon, almost nearly like, you know, almost 2-3 days later. And
wow.
It was quick, and I felt clean during that time. I didn't feel as though, sometimes we just kind of, we walk around and we're kind of bloated, and
mm-hmm.
even our emotions somewhat seems to be all over the place. But I felt so much clarity and clean while I was fasting and on my cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So it was,
did you
it
notice,
was definitely did, amazing.
Did you notice a change in the consistency of moisture? Did you notice the consistency of your fluids or anything like that?
I did. I didn't notice any clotting or anything, which is typical
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, if anything, it was, is it called the velocity? It's like it was less clots for sure, or none at all, and it was it seemed like it was more free flowing.
Mhm. Wow. Any of you other ladies have any experiences during fasting or detoxing that you notice any changes in the atmosphere of your vagina?
Hey. Please tell me she got my beer.
Yay.
Who's calling?
Hello. Okay, maybe she doesn't realize she has. She might have us on speaker. So I'm gonna open it back up to the callers and just let you know that if you are not looking to speak, please put your phone on mute. Or if you're looking to speak and you have a lot going on, I'm opening up the lines. Put your phone on mute and then you'll be able to hear us speak. If you don't want to talk at all, press 1 to take you out of queue, just to let you know. But I wanted to mention, when I was doing my detoxing, I noticed over the years, I will say, when I changed my diet from vegetarian to vegan, first from going to a meat eater to vegetarian, I noticed that my menstrual was getting lighter. Now, initially when I was younger, when I first got my menstrual, I used to get excruciating pain. I couldn't even go to school. And so my mother would make me stay home, and they would prescribe me, at the time they would prescribe me Tylenol 3 at the time. because it was that bad. I would be scratching the walls and, like, pulling my hair out. It was that bad. And typically it would last me about 5 to 7 days. And then as I got older, after I had my son, then it would be about 4 days, and the pain was nearly gone. After having my daughter, and I had my son cesarean. When I had my daughter, I had her natural. After I had gave birth to her, my periods were painful again, really, really painful. And so, and they would still last anywhere from, it was very irregular. Sometimes it would be 3 days. Sometimes it would be 5 days. And sometimes it will be 5 days, it will go away, and I'll be spotting for the next couple of days. So it would be really weird. When I had changed my diet in 2006 and I became vegetarian, I still had, on occasion, I had painful menstruals. So some months I'd be okay, and some other months I'd be laid out on my back. And, I mean, my back would be so stiff that I would have to go to the emergency room because I couldn't move. But the days would only last, the days I would have my period would probably be only 3 days at the most. And it was very, wasn't heavy at all. It was pretty moderate. I didn't have to deal with heavy, heavy menses. And then on top of that, I wasn't a person that used maxi pads. I used tampons. So for me, it was a lot easier. When I became a vegan and when I started doing a lot of fasting and detoxing, I was getting harsh menstrual pain because I had had an abortion and I had had scarring in my uterus. So that was causing extreme amount of pain. And it was the type of pain where it was like a couple of days before or a day before my menstrual was supposed to start, I would be in so much pain I couldn't move. My stomach would look like I was 9 months pregnant. And if I moved in any direction, it felt like my whole uterus was going to fall out of my body. I mean, it felt that, like, that serious. And so, and this was because I had the scarring, not so much because I had changed my diet. But what I've noticed is that initially when I had the scarring, there was no menstrual coming. And when you have scarring in your uterus, you have scarring in, you know, just your whole cervix, the whole area, it leaves you infertile. And what happens is the blood does not come out the body. It stays in the body. So my stomach getting big and me looking pregnant was because there was blood filling in my body. And so what we grew up knowing is that menstrual blood was bad blood. But as I kept learning, menstrual blood is good blood because that's the blood that our baby is being nourished in when they are in our body. So what was miraculously happening because of the scarring, it was actually healing me with that blood sitting inside of me. Even though I was scared as hell because I'm like, I'm bleeding and it's not coming out. It scared the hell out of me. But what I started to realize is the more that I got my menstrual, the more healing was happening because that's what my body was like. We're going to heal this thing. Not to mention changing my diet and doing the fasting and doing the meditation. So after a year and a half of having this issue, it's called Asherman syndrome, and it comes from it can come from multiple births, having C-sections. It can come from having abortions, and when they suck the baby out, the DC, when they do the DNC, and they suck the baby out. It can come from doing surgery, them taking out fibroids. You can get scars and lesions in your vagina and in your uterus from surgeries and things that are going on, trauma that happens in your uterus. So that had happened to me, and for a year and a half I suffered with extreme amount of pain until I got to a place where I started taking the chlorophyll and eating more raw food diets and just changing my mindset to now where my menstrual comes, I have almost no pain. Sometimes I don't even know it's coming because it's irregular still, but sometimes I don't even know that it's coming. And when it does, it flows like it should. Tremendous amount of healing happened inside of me because before it wasn't even coming out. And now it flows and it happens. and it's bright and it's happy. And that's how I know that my vagina is becoming healed and she's happy. But not only that, it only lasts 2 days. 2 days at the most. And so it definitely is a testament. Queen has talked about eating differently. It does change the whole environment of your womb. Not only does it change the environment of your womb, it changes the whole environment of your body. You smell different. You know, when you are detoxing and when you're cleansing, especially when you're using the chlorophyll and you're using the spirulina, you tend to notice you don't have a smell. I have been without deodorant for 2 years. And without using deodorant, because my body has changed, I don't need it. But I can tell when I ate something bad because my body would say, you might need deodorant today, you know. And so our body gives us signals and tells us what is going on. So it's very important to look at our diets, because our diets are probably the number one thing that causes the environment of the vagina to change outside of stress and things like that. But I believe that what we eat definitely contributes to the environment of our vagina. So before I go back into some more of the reading, I have another trivia question. Let's see if we know about this one. Okay. It says, when a woman is aroused, does the vagina grow? And what do you ladies think? Hello? Are we still on the line, ladies?
I'm here. I just want to give everyone else opportunity.
So I'm going to give my answer. I think... I'm not sure if it does. I've heard it does, but what do you think?
I think it does.
I'm
now that we know that the vagina is only a canal.
Mhm. Okay, and someone else had an answer.
Me, I'm going to go with yes. I think it grows.
Okay. So it says your vagina does grow during arousal a lot. It says regularly on average, the vagina is about 3 to 4 inches long. But when you are in the mood for sex, it stretches over 200% its normal size. That's crazy. So that means a woman could take any size if she feels that she could. So I never thought that. I know that it grew, but I didn't know that it grew over it stretches over 200%. But then you have to think about it. We push babies out of here. So why wouldn't it grow? And my understanding is when a woman is giving birth to a child, or when she's pushing a baby out of her, she is actually having an orgasm, and she's actually in high arousal state. And I heard about this before, and when I started doing some of the tantric rituals and some of the yoni breathing, I started to learn that that is a fact, that a lot of the yoni breathing exercises emulates what happens or what is supposed to happen when you are going into active labor or when you're giving birth to a child. So it does make sense. It makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to say that
my labor felt nothing like a high intense orgasm. Nothing like it.
Neither did
I. Mean, I prayed for it to come, but it never did.
You know what I think, though? I think now that we know this, that it's probably going to be a different experience if we ever decide to have children and have them natural. I think it's going to be a completely different experience now. Because I think with society and what happens is we are taught to expect pain. We're taught to expect that this is going to be difficult. You know, when you go to the doctors every month, it's almost like they prep you to be scared, you know. So
that's true.
So when you go in there and you start to give birth, you start to be afraid, you know. And so we don't expect that we're going to have an orgasm or that's what's happening down there.
You know, so sometimes for some women you get tensed up and then they have difficulties and then they're like, well, we're going to have to cut you, or we're going to have to do this, we're going to have to do that. And it kind of explains some of the extra that they got to do when we are in there having babies, when we're in there pushing babies out, you know. And now that we're becoming aware of some of the things that happens with our own physical body, once we're getting knowledge about what our bodies can do, it changes the game. You know, if I'd have known this as an 18-year-old mother giving birth to my son, knowing how to do certain things to my body so I didn't have toxemia and he wouldn't have to come out through C-section, you know, it would have been a whole different ballgame. You know, and especially when it comes to labor and delivery, them yoni breathing exercises teach you how to push a baby out of you. They really
yes.
do. And I know, Chris, when me and you did the workshop together with Grace, that's what clicked in my head was like, it, you know, this is teaching us how to be able to give birth, basically. You know, and it's not taught. It's not, you know, I mean, you have Lamaze classes, but Lamaze classes don't even begin to touch the surface of the power of our yoni and the power of our vagina and what she can do. And how you can be able to experience these things rather than experiencing pain, experiencing pleasure. Now, I must say, when I was pushing out my daughter, I didn't have a lot of pain at the time because I had got an epidural. I cheated. I cheated because I was in 4 days of labor with my daughter, four straight days of labor. And the first 2 days was a light labor. And see, with me, I have a high tolerance. I have a high threshold for pain. So I was okay. I was still functioning. By the time the third day came around, I wanted to kill everybody that came in my path because I was just like, they keep sending me home from the hospital. And, you know, so what I did was I actually, to induce and to push things further, by the fourth day, I set my butt in the bathtub and I refused to get out. And I kept filling the water, the bathtub with hot water, and my ex was like, are you going to come out the bathtub? I'm like, nope, because I felt no pain in the water. I felt zero pain. The moment I got out of that water that evening that I went to bed, my water broke. And the doctor was like, you did that. You sat in there and you forced it. I said, something had to happen because I felt no pain in that water, and I wanted to sleep in the bath because it felt I had no pain. But by the time I got in there, the pain had came back after my water broke, and I begged for epidural. I was like, enough is enough. I need an epidural. By the time they gave me the epidural and they wheeled me into the delivery room, they gave me the epidural maybe about 20 minutes later. She was ready to come. And the doctor was like, you get ready, push. So I was pushing as we were going to the delivery room. And he's like, wait, slow down. I'm like, look, listen, I'm ready to get her out. I'm hungry, and I want to go home. So I was ready to go. But when I pushed her out, I felt the pressure and the sensation of her coming out of me, and it felt beautiful. And that was the only thing. Like, I didn't feel her coming through the canal, but I felt like this thump hit the floor of my my pelvic area. And then as she came out, it just felt like this little thing just slid out of me. And I felt it, and I loved it, and I fell in love with it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I could have did this with my son, because it is the most beautiful experience to see that, to feel that. You know, so I know you ladies could attest to that. I know there's a lot of pain in the beginning, but once you feel that body come through you, how did that make you feel as a woman?
It was amazing. It was amazing. My labor was, I did have a natural childbirth, and I programmed myself during the 9 months or 10 months of pregnancy because she was late. Like, I did affirmations every single day. I told myself that I wanted a pain-free childbirth, and I think I accomplished it. Besides, it was after the birth, I felt that same exact thing. I actually didn't push at all. I let my body push. I had the opportunity to bear down, and my body actually expelled the baby. So it was an amazing feeling. And I actually gave birth at a hospital that I actually wanted every woman to experience as a natural childbirth as possible. And I gave birth with a midwife. So I really enjoyed my experience. But I wish that I had known about the yoni steams and the aftercare, because that urination after birth is the thing that was that was worse than labor, stitching up, and all of that. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I felt the amnesia immediately after labor, so I didn't really feel, you know, the pain that I felt during labor wasn't really bad, and the amnesia was amazing. But that urination, that was like,
that was the one.
It was.
That was like fine.
Yes.
Wow. Any of you ladies have any experiences that just made you really proud about being a woman during that time?
Not me.
Oh. No? What do you mean, not you?
I don't know. I guess in my pregnancies, you know, with me having toxemia and I had preeclampsia and I was 72 hours late with my 72 hours of labor with my first one.
Mm-hmm.
I think at 5 months I was ready for both of them to come out my stomach. I couldn't take it anymore. And then, you know, I guess, you know, with the fathers not really enjoying the moment like I would like them to, my experience was not as great as I would like it to be, and that's just like a part of my life I'm going to miss out on because I'm not having any more children.
Mm-hmm. Did you have both of them natural, or you had C-section?
I had the second one C-section because the cord was wrapped around her neck, so the first one was natural, and I had a midwife. I'm sorry.
How did it feel when you gave birth natural?
I mean, once her big head came out, I was fine. How did it feel? I don't know. She tore me. She came out with a broken collarbone. So I was kind of like stressed.
Mhm.
My pregnancies were stressed.
Mhm. Wow. Well, it's definitely not easy for some of us, especially when you go through a stressful pregnancy. For both my pregnancies, I was very ill. And I had, I was on IV for 6 months with my daughter, and because I couldn't hold any food down, and I mean everything was coming up, even my stomach lining was coming up, and so I refused to eat, so I became anorexic, and the same thing happened with my son the first 3 months, but I think, and I did it mostly by myself, you know, my ex was around here and there, and so. Mostly did it by myself, but I think what kept and what keeps us going is those babies. It's holding on to those babies and being able to bring them here as healthy as we can. You know, even with me being sick, that was my womb screaming to me, really. And now as I look back at this book and that angry vagina, I damn sure was angry because the first pregnancy I was alone and I was a teenager. I had my family support, but I was alone. So when I planned it the second time around and her dad was traveling the world and he was doing all these other things, I became angry again. And my sickness and my illness lingered because, you know, I held on to it and I kept holding on to it. So, you know, when I look back at those things and I compare it to what Queen of Fool is talking about in the book about angry vagina, for sure we can be angry during our pregnancy and carry these babies, and these babies come out unhealthy or come out because of our anger, because of what we're going through. And it's difficult to be in a happy place when you're pregnant and you're doing it alone, or you're pregnant and you're not having support, or you're pregnant and you're sick and you can't do certain things. It's very difficult to be joyous and happy at the end of the day about having a baby when you know that there's certain things not in place for you to have that happy birthing or a happy session where you bring your baby here. So it does explain a lot about angry vagina. I'm going to read letter two, and then I'm going to do one more trivia question, and then we're going to wrap it up. So letter two is, dear seekers of balance,
come into the womb recovery. It is time to heal your life and your and birth a new world. To heal your life, you must experience a rebirth. Wake up to your inner wisdom. Start from your, the seed of yourself, which is your bloodline, and return to the seed of thought that created your flesh and bones and the condition of your heart, your temperament, your attitude, your experiences, your relationships, your body, mind, and spiritual womb begin as seeds in the womb surrounded by mud. As you continue your bloodline, dare to make your own choices. Will your seeds flourish or perish? And that's totally up to us. So she says, will your seeds flourish or perish? Come into womb awareness. Consciously and unconsciously, your thoughts and your feelings reflect the condition of your womb. When you think and feel what you birth, what you think and feel is what you birth. When your womb is nourished, fulfilled, purified, it births joy and bliss. If your womb is starved, abused, unappreciated, or toxic, it births pain and sorrow, heavy bleeding and cramps. Your womb state dictates whether you give birth to disease or wellness, in both your physical and visionary forms. You are welcome to overcome an angry womb, to rehabilitate and mend your broken life and broken heart, and give birth to your wholeness. Return to your original state of illumination on the physical and mental plane. Become instruments in creating a world of harmony that replaces the world where women suffer from heavy menstrual flow, vaginitis, cysts, fibroid tumors, STDs, PMS, prolapse wounds, miscarriage, infertility, and sexual abuse. Increase your wellness as you increase your balance. In our minds, the wombs of our thoughts, we must recreate new thoughts. In our womb hearts, we must rebirth new temperaments, attitudes, relationships. When we detoxify and properly nourish our womb, we begin to heal ourselves. Seek balance through the elements of air, fire, water, and earth. Become one with nature. Become one with nature. When we detoxify for purification and empower ourselves with holistic nutrition and lifestyle, we can unify into a mighty force of wellness for personal and global healing. As seekers of balance, overcoming angry vaginas, become the seed, breaking through the water and mud to blossom as full lotus. Being overcome, rise, and fulfill your destiny. Forgive, restore, and begin again. It is time to heal the people, to birth a new day, to restore planet Earth. We must flush out hatred, cleanse out resentment, purge and purge rage. We must reclaim our seat of power. We are seekers of balance in teaching our daughters and sons, loving our men, saving our hearts and souls, and saving our lives. We are inspiring birth of organic beings who will walk in free in freedom. We are birthing our lives in balance. And so we're going to finish out on that, but I do want to encourage you ladies as we do this journey, let's open up and be really real. When she says to purge, removing, because if we ever want to get rid of this angry vagina, we want to be able to go to those places. And we talked about it before in Sacred Woman, and I think this book really brings you to the seat of the issues where we have to really, really begin to face them. And I know some of us have already started that, but purging some of this anger, and even when we do our detoxing, the detoxing kind of opens the gate for you to be able to further purge because, and I don't know if you ladies can attest to this, when you're doing a detox, it opens your mind, totally opens your mind. and you receive so many messages from so many things that is so clear now that you've cleansing and you're detoxing. Once you've ridden yourself of all the toxins in your body, you can now be focused and clear on what's happening around you. So now the messages aren't so muddled, and we don't miss out on those messages because now we're in clear focus. It's almost like just full clarity. Like for me, it's like little needles pinching me into awareness, and I'm so focused and clear that I can even remember numbers, and I can remember stuff that I typically would not have remembered had I been damaging or continued to not damage my body or not be in a place of cleansing. I don't know if any of you ladies have experienced that during your detoxing, but it's definitely something that happens when you are cleansing, when you are cleaning and ridding things out of your body. You become so clear, you become so focused, and people don't understand it until they go through it, you know. So with that, we're going to continue next week, and we're going to go into the chapters. I believe we start the next chapter. I think that's like the Seeking Balance, which is the next, well, it's the next letter. It's the continuation of the letter. We're going to try to finish that out, and next week I'm going to try my best to make sure that we don't have any technical difficulties. So do any of you ladies have any questions or anything that you want to finish out with?
Oh, what was our last trivia?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Let me go to the trivia page. Okay. So this is a true or false question. I might want to skip that one. That's an easy one. Yeah, that's an easy one. Let's try. Okay. The G-spot is a specific area on the vaginal wall. True or false?
I say true.
Okay. Anybody else want to say? The G-spot is a specific area on the vaginal wall. Is that true or false? Okay. I want to say that it's false, and the answer is false. It says there is no consistent evidence that the G-spot physically exists. Wow. So then what is it?
Whoa.
I think it exists. I felt something. It says that it's suggested it is an area on the interior wall of the vagina. It is sensitive to touch, and that is that stimulating this area can bring about an orgasm, but there is still debate going on about it. Okay, so that clears it up. It's supposedly on the inner walls of the vagina. So that's pretty interesting. I heard some people say that it's on the outside too. So who knows? You might have some introverted women out there that might have some on the outside and the inside. But I do think if there's an erogenous area there that feels very similar to when the G-spot is being penetrated. So who knows? Who knows? Who knows? But thank you so much, ladies, for joining us. We're going to wrap it up. And next week, hopefully without any technical difficulties, we can continue with the show. And we had a bunch of women that did actually call in this evening. And but I know with the scheduling issue, it was a problem. So, again, ladies, I thank you so much for joining me. And we will resume next week. So have a good evening.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. So I do want to announce a couple of shows that I'm going to be doing this particular week, and I do want to acknowledge some of my Blog Talk Radio friends for the evening. I do want to let you know on Monday evenings there will be Happy Hour with the Crew, which is a Blog Talk Radio show that we have at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I will post it to the event page so you can join us. It's through Elevation Radio and my partners over there. Also, they have shows on Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, where I will be with
my two fellow brothers on the King Me Show, and then they have another show on Saturday morning with the Queen Me Show. And so please check them out. I will premiere them on the page. Also want to remind everyone that I will be doing a chakra an introduction to the chakras radio show coming up in mid-March, so stay tuned for that. And I want you guys to stay tuned. We'll be back next week, and hopefully we'll have a full show without all the technical difficulties. And I'm sorry for the ladies who missed it in the beginning, but I thank you all so much for hanging around and being a support. Peace and blessings, family.
You're a natural kind of superwoman. You can be my friend to the highest mountain. From my heart to my soul, to the cherished love and home, you're my queen.
You should be.